Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
With less than 2 weeks to go now until Election Day, we caught up with a pair of New Hampshire Republicans to discuss civil unrest, the coronavirus pandemic, and their support for President Trump. Dan Innes is a hotel operator and professor of marketing and hospitality management at the University of New Hampshire. Leah Walchko is an eighth grade biology teacher in Manchester, New Hampshire. We started with Walchko by asking how school has been going in the pandemic.
I've had a lot of family members report to me that their children are not well. One talked about how they had to take her to the doctor. They thought she had some kind of a stomach problem. It ended up being they told her it was anxiety. Another one, suicidality. Another one, can't get out of bed, can't function anymore. The depression level of many of these young people is so profound, and I fear they will not snap back out of it.
What do you think should be done? What can be done?
I think that we should have opened the schools. We should have given people a right to have their kids stay out for the year if they had family members that were at risk or they were afraid for some reason. But if you want to go to school, we're going to school.
So do you blame political leaders for this situation?
Yes, I do. In the beginning, I'll grant them all. We didn't know what we were dealing with. We didn't know how severe the death rate would be. I'll even give them 2 weeks to flatten the curve to make sure that the ICUs could handle the influx of people. But I blame them for every day thereafter.
Dan, weigh in here.
You know, we're coming into winter in a state that is heavily driven by tourism and people going out to eat and that kind of thing. We're going to lose hundreds, if not thousands, of New Hampshire small businesses if things don't change. And what you want from politicians is leaders that help you to see the way forward and don't scare you into sheltering at home.
But, you know, a lot of people say that President Trump has not provided the leadership, that he has not set the example, that he hasn't worn a mask in public and when he's with other people when he should be wearing a mask, and that his leadership has been deficient in that way. What do you say to that?
I think what he was trying to do was what I just described, to cause us not to be afraid. You know, he came down with COVID. The guy got through it just fine, and he's back out on the campaign trail. If that isn't a message of strength and hope, I don't know what is.
But 200,000 plus Americans have died.
I think that we need to remember that life is finite. And because we're so afraid of death now as a culture, we can't see that it's not life to be valued chiefly. It's good life. My mother-in-law is in one of those nursing homes. No more going out to brunch for Nana. No more seeing the grandchild for Nana. And when Nana got the COVID anyway, no more going to the ICU and holding Nana's hand. Is my mother-in-law never going to leave her solitary confinement? What's the reason to be alive?
Let me ask about the civil unrest that we're seeing across the political spectrum right now. And let me start with the Black Lives Matter movement, if I might. What do you two make of the movement? And do you think the country has a police brutality and police accountability problem?
We do have a problem. We have a serious problem. But what's spinning out of the uprising, finally, about the fact that the police are out of control, that is not legitimate. You don't set places on fire. You don't intimidate people. Not if you're trying to win an argument. Not if you're trying to make somebody change the way they see the world.
Do you think that Black men suffer injustice disproportionately at the hands of police? And do you think that systemic racism exists in the country's judicial system?
I think they probably do receive unfair treatment at times from the police, probably more than white men do. Is there systemic racism in the courts? I'm less likely to believe that. We will always have to work on racism in America. But we've got to do more than just tolerate one another. We have to reach out to one another and love one another. I mean, I tell people I don't think about skin color, and they say, well, you're racist, you have a problem. Oh, come on. Quite the contrary. You have the problem because you're seeing everything in terms of race.
White nationalism. The Department of Homeland Security released a report in October characterizing white nationalism as a major domestic terrorism threat. In your view, has the president done enough to denounce white nationalism?
I think President Trump has denounced these groups. And for some reason, the media doesn't report that.
Well, when he says stand back and stand by, that's not exactly a denouncement.
From the debate? All right. So that was a single statement in a heated moment. I think his actions don't suggest that he supports them.
Let me ask this. The FBI arrested 13 men accused of plotting to kidnap Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer and violently overthrowing the state government there just a few weeks ago. For months now, the president has been trading barbs with the governor and continues to do so in the wake of the arrests, leading a chant of lock her up at a recent campaign rally. The Trump campaign has been peddling what is a baseless narrative that Whitmer has been secretly fomenting attempts to kill the president. Is rhetoric like that defensible?
I don't think it's necessary and probably not defensible. And I think, you know, anyone who supports violence against another person should be condemned, period. But Michigan is a pretty unique situation. I mean, this governor has been almost dictatorial. Still no excuse for violence, but her behavior has caused her citizenry to really feel that they're under attack.
Trump is a small man. And he says horrible things. But let me tell you something. We're a horrible country or he wouldn't have been elected. Mm-hmm. Trump doesn't make us mean-spirited. We're mean-spirited and therefore we elected a mean-spirited man. But if a governor is going to be threatened by 13 yahoos, he's not responsible for people deciding, I'm not going to have some tyrant tell me that I can't work.
Could President Trump's rhetoric, could his meanness actually foment violence should he lose the November election? Do you worry about that?
I hear people in your profession tell me without end now how much violence there's going to be around Trump and the people that want him to win. That's not who I see setting people's houses on fire. I don't see the right rising up in any kind of mass violent outburst. I see the ones that have been screaming at the sky for four long years now.
Leah Walchko, middle school biology teacher in Manchester, New Hampshire, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Dan Innes, hoteler and professor of marketing and hospitality management at the University of New Hampshire, thank you very much.
It was my pleasure.